Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. It's a true crime story of cops and robbers, dogged investigators and lovable rogues, old and new Boston, and an irresistible mystery. We're talking about the biggest unsolved art heist in history, which happened right here in Boston 28 and a half years ago. That's when two thieves, disguised as Boston cops, entered the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum, tied up the two guards, and stole 13 artworks valued at $500 million. Not one of them has yet been recovered. Today, WBUR and the Boston Globe launched the podcast Last Scene, which dives into this fascinating unsolved crime. Kelly Horn is the senior producer and reporter for Last Scene and joins us now. Hello, Kelly.
Hello.
So, first a disclaimer, Kelly and I know each other pretty well. We are, in fact, married, correct?
That's right, listener. I married him.
All right. So this means, among other things, that I've had a front row seat of the making of this podcast. But Kelly, why a podcast on the Gardner art heist?
Well, why not? I mean, it's an unsolved art heist, the greatest in history. And it is such a story of Boston. It's a story of old Boston, as you say, and a story of an underbelly of Boston and of these two worlds colliding, we think. And the outcome is 13 lost masterpieces, as you said. It's just an untold loss.
So we're going to talk about those artworks in a minute. But I want to ask you, what drew you to this podcast? You wrote a piece in today's Boston Globe about Last Scene, in which you say the most captivating person connected to this unsolved art heist is the woman for whom this museum is named, right?
Well, that's right. Before I could really wrap my head around what had been lost, before I could really delve into the crime, I wanted to know her. I wanted to know Isabella Stewart Gardner and better understand what these artworks that were stolen meant to her. I wanted to know what this museum that is not just named for her, but she built from the ground up every stone. It was all her vision. And so before I read anything about the heist, I read everything I could about her. Mm. And what I learned really made me appreciate what this loss would have meant to her and why it should matter to us.
Well, talk a little bit about her. She died in 1924. Talk about her vision for this museum and the expectations for the future of this museum.
Well, Isabella Stewart Gardner, when she was a young woman, expressed her desire to a friend to one day have a museum of her own. And she felt that there was no greater gift that she could leave us than the gift of art. And so she began collecting 2 years after her baby boy, Jackie, died. Mm. He was less than 2 years old. She spent 2 very painful years in grief. And finally, upon doctor's orders, got on a steamer ship with her husband and began her world travels that revived her spirit, really brought her back to life, and reminded her of the life-affirming quality of art from all cultures. And she began collecting in a small way then. And then after her father died, when she inherited quite a fortune, she began collecting in earnest.
I was touched by the connection you made in this piece of the loss of her baby boy and the loss of this art.
Well, yes. I can't say that all of the pieces in the Gardner Museum were about her lost son. But when you walk through the museum, I think what you're struck by is the great many Madonnas and child, the great many mourning virgins over the dying Jesus. There are symbols everywhere you look of a mother mourning her son. Now, would she have mourned all of these pieces equally? I don't know. We know that in correspondence about Storm on the Sea of Galilee, she wrote that she ached for the sea picture, as she called it, before it arrived. But we know that in some way, all of these pieces were her children and her bid for immortality, because that, after all, is what this museum is.
Mm. You mentioned a couple of works of art there, including Rembrandt's The Storm on the Sea of Galilee. Remind us what was stolen and help us understand the scope of this loss.
Okay, well, it's 13 pieces in all. And as you said, Rembrandt's Storm on the Sea of Galilee was one of three Rembrandts taken. One was a postage-sized self-portrait etching. The other was a portrait of Lady and Gentleman in Black. Another of the paintings stolen was the concert by Vermeer. We don't know an exact number of Vermeers in existence, something like 34, 35, 36. We can't be sure, but Vermeers are rare and precious, and this was a particularly stunning one.
Now, among the people we hear from in the first episode of Last Scene is Anne Hawley. She was the director of the museum when the robbery took place, and she really puts into perspective what was lost. So let's listen to her for a moment.
What if Beethoven's Fifth Symphony could never be heard again? Or what if Louis Armstrong's work could never be heard again? Or what if Hamlet could never be played again? I mean, these are works of the civilization that are so important. To remove them is to remove a piece of our civilization.
Boy, that really puts it into perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, Anne Hawley is so extraordinary in every way. Interviewing her was such an experience because you feel still her passion for and mourning over the loss of these works.
So the first episode is called 81 Minutes, the first episode of Last Scene. It looks at what happened the night of the heist. So walk us through what happened and the significance of that time frame.
Well, 81 Minutes makes the Gardner heist a true outlier. There is no other art heist that took more time. Typically, thieves like to get in and they like to get out. They don't like to linger. 81 Minutes suggests that the thieves were very confident that they had the run of the place and that the police weren't coming.
So the police were, as in, possibly an inside job.
Well, that's something that we look at in the next episode. You know, the two thieves dressed as police officers who were buzzed in knew to have that security guard who let them in step away from the panic button of the museum. Once he did that, there was really no alerting the outside world to what was about to happen at the Gardner Museum.
And we should say that in the first episode, we hear from one of those guards who's never talked about this publicly until you and reporter Jack Rodolico interviewed him. It's incredibly compelling. I want to talk about another key figure in this. It's Anthony Amore. He became the director of security at the Gardner after the heist. And he's made it, as I've learned from your work, his life mission to solve this crime. So let's listen to an excerpt from Last Scene when Amore takes you up in the attic of the Gardner to show you something. Set this up for us.
Well, Anthony had told me, I want to show you something. I had no idea what it was, and he didn't tell me what it was. And we went up there, and you're walking up many, 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 many steps into this really warm attic, dimly lit. And then he uses a security card to click into a room, and it's very quiet, and there's white vinyl tents everywhere, full of these beautiful fabrics that you see all around the museum. And I think that Anthony has taken me into this room to show me these. But he says, no, keep walking. And we go to the back of the room, behind all the tents. There's something big under plastic. He takes the plastic off. And what he shows me are the rosewood stretchers that held the Rembrandt Storm on the Sea of Galilee. And it's the stretcher that was left behind after the thieves slashed that painting from the frame.
All right. So, yeah, this was quite a moment. So you're standing there looking at the frame, and here's your reaction.
I don't know why, but it makes me feel very queasy to look at it.
It does. Yeah, I get the same feeling every time I look at it. You get there's so much to it. It's Rembrandt, so you're in the presence of greatness, right? But you're in the presence of history, too. This is a stretcher that held one of the most valuable things that was ever stolen. Why am I this close to something Rembrandt had? You know, it's just an awe-inspiring thing. I got to get it back. Because this is torture. You almost feel like, why did I get stuck with this? You know? Why? Because it's... Look at it, right? You understand, I can never walk away from this, right?
Wow, so that's Anthony Amore, head of security at the Gardner Museum. And Kelly, tell me a little bit more about Anthony Amore. He sounds like a haunted soul. Tell me something about his place in this story.
Anthony Amore is the beating heart of the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum investigation. He took the job at the Gardner Museum 15 years after the heist. So imagine a 15-year gap. He made up for lost time brilliantly. He is meticulous. He has created spreadsheets that make my eyes go cross. He runs down every tip, every lead. There's not a suspect that I can name, a name that I can give him that he hasn't already investigated. There isn't an angle he hasn't thought of.
Well, lots of theories about what happened to these artworks. I know the podcast Last Scene delves into those. They've been gone for more than 28 years, these artworks. So let me ask you finally, sort of a big question. Do you think they'll ever be recovered?
I'm always hopeful. You know, one of the things that we talk about when we talk about what's been lost in the Gardner is memories are fading. Suspects might be dead. Some might be dying. What happens if everyone who was attached to this 28 years ago takes the memory of what happened with them? But that leads the possibility of future discovery. If they're hidden in an attic, hidden in a basement or a storeroom, will they yet be discovered by a relative, by a friend who didn't know that they were hidden there? I happen to think that that might be one way that they come back. But the other way that I'm absolutely convinced would be vital to their return is public awareness of what this art is, what it looks like. Getting these images out in the same way that, you know, we used to do milk carton campaigns for missing children. We need some kind of a milk carton campaign for the lost works, because the more they're seen, the more they stand the chance of being recognized and returned.
That's Kelly Horan. She's senior producer and reporter for a new podcast about the 1990 Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum heist. It's called Last Scene, from the Boston Globe and WBUR, and the first episode was released today. And it's true, I may be biased, but it's a fascinating story. So subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find pictures, a reporter's notebook, videos, and more at WBUR.org. Kelly, thank you so much.
Thank you.